Let me ask you something before we start. You're cruising along at 4,500 feet on a clear afternoon, direct to an airport that's more or less east of you. Nice day. Good visibility. You picked 4,500 because it felt right, because it kept you under the shelf, because that's the number that was on the altimeter when you leveled off and you just left it there. Here's the problem. Somebody else is out there today too. And they're westbound, coming right back down the same line you're flying, at the same altitude, closing on you at a combined speed that might be 250 knots. A mile every 15 seconds. Neither of you is talking to anybody. Both of you are legal to be right where you are, in theory. And the only thing that keeps that afternoon from becoming a very bad day is a rule most pilots learn for the written test and then quietly forget. This is Radio Hangar. I'm Pattern, and this is Traffic Pattern. The show where we take one piece of the regulations and turn it into something you can actually use on your next flight. Today we're talking about Federal Aviation Regulation 9159, VFR Cruising Altitudes, the Hemispheric Rule, and I promise you by the end of this segment, you will never look at your altimeter the same way on a cross-country again. Let's walk through this together. Before we get into it, a quick shout out to our friends at aviationsoul.com. They make challenge coins for every step of the journey. Got your first solo? There's a coin for that. Private pilot, instrument commercial, they've got you covered. It's a great way to mark the milestones that matter, the ones you don't frame but you never forget. AviationSoul.com. Now back to the rule. Here's the thing about 9159. It sounds like bookkeeping. It sounds like one of those regs that exist to give examiners something to ask about. But it isn't. It's a separation system. It's the only thing standing between you and traffic you will never see coming out in the wide open airspace where nobody is watching over you and there's no controller assigning altitudes. Let me explain what the rule actually says in plain language, and then we'll talk about why it's built the way it's built. The rule kicks in when you're flying under visual flight rules, more than 3,000 feet above the surface, and you're in level cruising flight. Those three conditions matter, so hold on to them. VFR, more than 3,000 feet above the ground, not above sea level, above the ground, and cruise. We'll come back to each one. When those three things are true, your altitude is no longer your free choice. It's determined by the direction you're going. Here's the system. You take your magnetic course, the direction you're actually traveling over the ground, corrected for magnetic variation, not your heading, your course, and you look at where it falls on the compass. If your magnetic course is anywhere from 0 degrees up to, but not including 180 degrees, that's the eastbound half of the compass. You fly odd thousands plus 500 feet, 5,500, 7,500. 9,500 odd thousand plus the 500 on top. If your magnetic course is from 180 degrees up to, but not including 360, that's the westbound half. You fly even thousands plus 500, 4,500, 6,500, 8,500. That's the whole rule. East is odd, west is even, and everybody, in visual conditions above 3,000 feet, tax on an extra 500 feet. Now here's the memory trick, and it's the one that saved more written test points than any other. East is odd, say it out loud on the ramp until it's automatic. East is odd, the letters even line up if you want them to. East and odd both feel short and sharp, west and even are the leftovers. But honestly, just burn in east is odd, and let the rest fall into place, because west has to be the other one. Let me show you why this works. Because once you see the geometry, you'll never forget it. Picture two airplanes flying directly at each other. One eastbound, one westbound, exactly reciprocal courses, nose to nose, without any rule. They could both be at 7,000 feet and physics would sort out the rest, and it would not sort it out kindly. Now, apply the rule. The eastbound airplane is on an odd plus 500 altitude, say 7,500. The westbound airplane is on an even plus 500 altitude. The nearest ones are 6,500 and 8,500. So the closest that eastbound and westbound traffic can legally be vertically is 1,000 feet apart. One at 75, one at 65, or one at 75 and one at 85. 1,000 feet of daylight between airplanes going opposite directions. That's the whole point. The rule guarantees that opposite direction traffic is stacked at least 1,000 feet apart. You could be blind, you could have your head down in the cockpit fussing with a chart, and the airplane coming straight back at you is 1,000 feet above or below you by regulation. It's a passive safety net woven into the altitude you chose before you ever left the pattern. And here's the part that makes it elegant. The plus 500. Why 500? Why not just odd thousands eastbound and even thousands westbound and call it a day? Because of the airlines, because of everybody on an instrument flight plan. IFR traffic flies the plane thousands, even thousands, odd thousands on the whole numbers. 6,000, 7,000, 8,000. So when you VFR add that extra 500 feet, you're not just separated from opposite direction VFR traffic, you're also tucked 500 feet away from all the IFR traffic flying the round numbers through the same sky. That 500 feet is deliberate. It's a buffer between the see and avoid world and the controlled, cleared, talking to a controller world. You're threading right between them. Let me pause here, because this is exactly where the confusion starts for a lot of students. Here's something I wish someone had told me when I was training. Nobody assigns you these altitudes. Nobody. On a VFR cross country, no controller is going to call you up and say climb and maintain 7,500. You pick it based on your course, and you pick it before you go. On the ground when you're planning. This is a rule you enforce on yourself, which is exactly why it's so easy to blow off. There's no voice reminding you. It's on you. So let's talk about the conditions again, because this is where I see applicants and honestly plenty of certificated pilots get it wrong. Condition 1. It's a VFR rule. If you're instrument rated and you're on an IFR flight plan, this reg is not yours. The controller assigns your altitude and you fly the plane thousands they give you. 9159 is for the VFR crowd, out on their own. Condition 2, and this is the big one, more than 3,000 feet above the surface, above the surface, above the ground. Not above sea level. Let me say that again because it trips everybody up. The magic number is measured above the terrain underneath you, above ground level, AGL. So if the ground below you is at 1,000 feet of elevation, the rule doesn't start biting until you're above 4,000 feet on your altimeter, because that's 3,000 feet of air between you and the dirt. And what does that mean in practice? It means down low in the traffic pattern altitudes, in the practice area altitudes, down where you're doing maneuvers at 2,000 or 3,000 AGL, you're not required to fly the hemispheric rule at all. You can be at any altitude down there, because the FAA knows the low altitude environment is full of airplanes climbing, descending, maneuvering, entering the pattern. And forcing everybody onto odd and even steps down there wouldn't help anybody. The rule is for crews. For the cross-country crews up higher, where two airplanes might genuinely be holding a steady altitude on a steady course for 20, 30, 40 minutes at a time. That's where opposite direction separation actually pays off. Condition 3, level cruising flight. When you're climbing to your cruise altitude, or descending out of it toward your destination, the rule isn't pinning you to a step. You climb through whatever you climb through. It's when you level off and settle in that the number has to be right. Cruise means cruise. Now let me give you a scenario, because that's how this stuff actually sticks. You're planning a cross country from your home field out to an airport that sits, let's say, on a magnetic course of 090 due east. Terrain along the route is fairly low, maybe 1,000 feet of elevation, and you want to get up and over some haze, so you're thinking 6,000 feet. Stop right there. 090 is eastbound. East is odd. 6,000 is an even 1,000 with no 500 on it. That's an IFR westbound-ish altitude. That's not yours at all. Your legal options going east are 5,500, 7,500, 9,500. So you either come down to 55, or you climb up to 75. And out over that low terrain, both of those are more than 3,000 AGL. So the rule is absolutely in force. You don't get to sit at 6,000, pick 55 or 75, and now you're legal and you're separated. Coming home, same route, reciprocal course, 270, due west, west is even. Now your altitudes flip, 4,500, 6,500, 8,500. Notice what happened. On the way out, you were at, say, 7,500, and on the way back, you're at 6,500 or 8,500. 1,000 feet different automatically because you reversed direction. The system did that for you. That's the rule working exactly the way it's drawn up. Here's a subtlety that catches people, and it's worth knowing for the check ride and for real life. The line is drawn at your course, not your heading. If you've got a stiff crosswind and you're crabbing, your nose might be pointed one way while you're tracking another. The rule cares about your magnetic course, the actual direction you're moving across the ground. So, on those windy days, plan it off the course line on your chart, not off where the nose happens to be pointing. And what about the edges? What about a course that's exactly 180 degrees due south? The rule is written so that 180 falls into the westbound, even group, 0 up to, but not including 180, is the odd side. 180 up to, but not including 360, is the even side. So due south, 180 is even, due north, 360 or 0 degrees, is odd. If you're flying almost exactly north or south, know which side of that line your course falls on, and commit to it, don't split the difference. Let me connect this to the check ride for a second, because if you're a student listening, this will come up. The examiner is looking for you to demonstrate that you understand cruising altitude selection during your cross-country planning, and that you can do it in the airplane. When you level off on that cross-country leg of the practical test, and you pick an altitude, the examiner is quietly noting whether it matches your course. If you're eastbound and you level at an even plus 500, or worse, a plain 1000, that's a red flag to them, because it tells them you either don't know the rule or you're not applying it. It's such an easy thing to get right, and it's such an obvious thing to get wrong. Don't hand them that one. Know your course, know your altitude, and say it out loud as you level off. East is odd. Confirm it against the compass. Done. Now, the Airman Certification Standards folds this right into cross-country flight planning and into the pilotage and dead reckoning tasks. It expects you to select an appropriate altitude considering terrain, weather, airspace, and the cruising altitude rule. So this isn't a trivia question off in a corner. It's woven into how you're supposed to plan every cross-country you fly. The habit they want you to build is that choosing an altitude is a decision with rules attached, not just whatever gets you above the bumps. Let me give you the practical takeaways, the stuff to actually carry into the cockpit. First, decide your cruising altitude on the ground. During planning, off your magnetic course line for each leg. Don't improvise it in the air. When you know before you take off that this leg is 7,500 and the way home is 6,500, you're not doing math at 200 feet a minute in a climb, you already know where you're going. Second, the trigger is 3,000 feet above the ground, not the altimeter reading. When you're flying over rising terrain, keep an eye on it, because you can climb into the rules jurisdiction without your altimeter number ever changing, just because the ground came up to meet you. If the terrain below you climbs and now you're more than 3,000 above it in cruise, your altitude needs to comply. Third, say it out loud when you level off. Every single time, course is 090. That's east. East is odd, 7,500. Confirm that little verbal habit is the single best defense against leveling at a wrong altitude out of pure inertia. The airplane doesn't care what altitude you leave it at. You have to care. And fourth, the big one, the reason any of this matters. This rule is not paperwork. It is a wall of vertical separation built into the sky for airplanes that will never talk to each other and might never see each other. Every time you fly the correct hemispheric altitude, you're holding up your end of a bargain with a stranger you'll never meet, and they're holding up theirs. That's the deal. That's why it's 1,000 feet, and that's why it's worth getting right on a clear day when it feels like it doesn't matter. Because the day it matters, you won't get any warning. The reg itself, 91.159, is right there in Part 91 for you to read, and I'd encourage you to actually read it once. It's short, and the FAA lays it out cleanly. The Airman Certification Standards ties it into your cross-country planning tasks if you want to see exactly how the examiner is told to evaluate it. You can find more from the show at radiohanger.com. East is odd. Say it on your next cross-country, and think about the airplane, 1,000 feet below you that you'll never see, flying the other way, keeping the same deal. That's the whole beautiful idea. I'm Pattern. Fly safe up there, and I'll see you next time.